Well, good morning, Grace people. Good morning to those of you who are watching online this morning or who are watching at a later date, because today is Father's Day and I miss my dad. This July marks the 20th anniversary of his death. And there are so many things I wish I could share with him today. So many things I'd like to hear from him today, especially in light of the terrible events that took place yesterday in Brooklyn Park and Champlin. We used to live in Brooklyn Park. And my dad would have something to say. He would have some wisdom to share. He would have some encouragement to give. He would have something to teach. That's just my dad. And I miss that. I miss that part of him in so many ways. I miss his voice, his calming voice that would be just what we need and what I need in times like this. But I had a chance to hear his voice just about a year ago. Let me explain what that's all about. My mom had some microcassettes, and she wasn't sure what was on them, but she was pretty sure that at least one of them had some recordings of her mother. She didn't have any way to play these things back or do anything with them, so she said, hey, would you be able to maybe see what's on these and then maybe transfer them to something that I could listen to? I said, sure, Mom. So I don't have a microcassette player, but eBay does. So I went to eBay, got a microcassette player, grabbed one of the tapes, popped it in, and it was my dad's voice. It was my dad. It was so wild, just out of nowhere, to be hearing my dad. But it's also fascinating of the context in which I was hearing his voice, because my dad was leading a meeting. He was leading a meeting at church, a strategic planning meeting at church where they were talking about the future and what they wanted to do as a church. They were talking about things like evangelism. How could they reach out more to the community? They were talking about things like the music ministry and how do we maybe have more contemporary music as a part of what we're doing. They were talking about things like, how do we find ways to get younger families into the church? Didn't this sound familiar? It's the exact same things that we talk about today. And hearing my dad share these things was kind of a voice of encouragement that some things never change and that it's always necessary to have people with a voice come and speak to the church. So I got to hear my dad speaking about the church. And that's a segue into what we listen to and where we're going right now in the book of Revelation. We're starting a new summer sermon series on the book of Revelation. It's entitled Listen Up. And we're focusing on just the first three chapters of Revelation, where Jesus has a message for the seven churches in the province of Asia. And we're going to listen to these messages over the course of these coming weeks because they express our Heavenly Father's heart through the voice of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're called to pay attention, to listen up to what Jesus is saying to the churches. That is our task. But before we get there in the coming weeks, I want you to hear a little bit of what Jesus is saying to each of us, because I want to give you a bit of an overview of the book of Revelation and what it's really about. Now, this won't be a deep dive. There's not enough time to do a deep dive. But I do believe it will help to bring some clarity and some context to what this book has to say. And will also maybe help you avoid some ditches, some pitfalls, and some common misunderstandings about this book. So if you have a Bible with you and you want to open up to the book of Revelation chapter 1, I would encourage you to do that now. If you need a Bible, the ushers are ready to bring you one. Just raise your hand and we will get a Bible for you, bring it out to you from those back cabinets that are over there. You can turn to Revelation 1, but just hold your finger there because I want to share with you a little bit as we jump into the text today. I want to give you what I call Pastor Darren's 5 tips for understanding Revelation. Here we go. 5 tips, short tips. You can write these down. They may help you in the future. I hope they will. Tip number 1, things look bad. I don't know if that speaks to anybody today, but I think it does. Sometimes things look bad. Which leads to step number 2, things may look worse. They might. We don't know. We don't know what happens in the day-to-day lives of our life, but we know that things may look bad in certain circumstances or worse than they were before. Which leads to tip number three. There are things happening that you can't see. And if you could see, you wouldn't understand. The book of Revelation is filled with all kinds of images and things and stuff that you look at that maybe just going to have you scratching your head going, I don't get what we're looking at. And the whole point is there are things happening that you can't see. There is a realm that is just as real as this realm. It's the unseen spiritual realm. There are things happening there, and you can't see them. Which leads to tip number four. Stay faithful to Jesus and don't be afraid. That message just gets repeated over and over in Revelation. Stay faithful to Jesus and don't be afraid. Because it all gets summed up in tip number five. God wins. God wins. I've read the end of the book. God wins. And that should give us all hope, which is a big theme in the book of Revelation. So now, let's begin reading together. We're going to read at Revelation chapter 1. Just follow along with me. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Here we go. The revelation from Jesus Christ. Stop! Right there, stop! Who is this revelation from? Jesus! Good job, you got it. It's the Sunday school answer, and it is correct. Okay? Jesus. The revelation from Jesus Christ. It's from Jesus. Now, it's important to understand that it's not the book of Revelations. Lots of people make that common mistake. Yeah, we're going to read something from the book of Revelations today. It's not the book of Revelations. It's the book of a revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's from Jesus. And we must remember that first. So let's keep going. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. Stop again. Who is this revelation to? John! Very good. A text without a context is a pretext. Context matters, my friends. You want to know the context of what you're reading here. It's a revelation from Jesus, but it was written and sent and delivered to John, one of his servants, somebody who lived 2,000 years ago in a very different part of the world, in a very different context. The Bible wasn't written to you. Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, wasn't given to you. It was given to his servant John. And that's really important for us to understand. We always start with a context of anything that we read in the Bible, especially things that are confusing. We have to start with remembering it was written to an ancient person in an ancient time. Now, is it alive and does it speak to us today? Absolutely. Do I believe it is the inspired word of God? Of course. Do I believe it's infallible and filled with everything that we need for life and godliness? Yes, 100%. But I don't read it out of context because I know that it wasn't written to me personally. That means it also wasn't written to the authors of the Left Behind series. It was not written to Hal Lindsey, author of The Late Great Planet Earth. Anybody ever remember that book back in the 70s? Yep. It was my first exposure to Revelation. It freaked me out. It was not written to Pastor John Hagee 10 years ago when he wrote The Four Blood Moons. I remember preaching to my last congregation right as that book was coming out. And I told him, please, whatever you do, don't rush out and buy that book, because I guarantee you in less than a year you'll find it on the discount shelf at any discount store anywhere in the big pile of books or for free at a garage sale. Because it wasn't written to them first. It's written to John. And that's really important for us to recognize. So who is the revelation from?
Jesus.
Who is the revelation to?
John.
John, good, excellent. Let's keep going. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Stop again. Who is this revelation about? Jesus Christ. Wonderful, you are all biblical scholars. You are. The book of Revelation is from Jesus, about Jesus, and for John. If you remember nothing else of what I have shared today, remember those three things, and they will help you as you work your way through the book of Revelation. It's from Jesus. It's about Jesus. And it is to John. It's about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. It's not about the Antichrist. It's not about the mark of the beast. It's not about the judgment of humanity. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about floods or plagues or trumpets or horses or dragons. All of these things appear in the book of Revelation, but they are not what the book of Revelation is about. The book of Revelation is about who? From who? To who? Let's say this all together. Revelation is from Jesus, about Jesus, and for John. To John. Awesome. Awesome. Well done. Well done. So let's keep going, shall we? Picking it up at verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Let's pause for a second. Revelation is a blessing and not a curse. So often I hear people diving into the book of Revelation, and where they want to go immediately is, oh man, let's go into all these deep, dark, terrible things that are going to happen. And let's try to relate all those deep, dark, terrible things to today, and let's just focus in on that and lean in on that. That's not what the book is for. Revelation is a blessing. It's meant to bless those who hear it, those who take it to heart. Those who read it aloud. Thank you. It's a good day today. But it's a blessing to you too for hearing it, for listening to it, for taking it to heart, for letting it go beyond just your intellect into your soul and into your spirit. Revelation is a blessing and not a curse. And this is faithfulness to Jesus to receive it from him this way. To recognize that blessing that is there. Now, let's look at a couple more key passages in this first chapter that expand on the focus of Revelation and also sets us up for the next two chapters that we're going to be covering in the weeks ahead. Starting at verse 4. John, there he is again. John. Now, why does it just start with John there? Well, this little thing that we're going to read here is set up in the form of an ancient letter. And an ancient letter, kind of like business interactions, start at the top with the return address, right? You start with the address of you, and then you go on to who it's going to. So John is identifying himself. This letter's from John. This message is from John. And now who's it to? To the seven churches in the province of Asia. Cool, more context. Seven ancient churches in Asia, none of which exist anymore, by the way. And here's what he wants to tell them. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. We're just going to keep on going. Verse 7. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Wow. Are you blessed yet? I hope so. This is a description, a powerful description of Jesus. John is sending this blessing of grace and peace to these seven churches right from Jesus. It is filled with declarations of Jesus' majesty, his faithfulness, his sacrifice, his power, and his eternal glory. All of it is being revealed. It's being revealed, hence the name Revelation. It's being revealed for us to see, for John to see first, for those churches to receive this powerful image of the one who has saved them, all focusing on Jesus, all of it being revealed to them that they might see and hear and understand who Jesus is in all of his glory and majesty. So let's keep going. Verse 9, I, John, once again, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Wow. John goes from describing some attributes of Jesus in sending this greeting out to his personal encounter in the spiritual realms with Jesus. More descriptions of who he is. But there's something else that's really wonderful and important for us to understand. See, this time, John is trying to describe what is obviously hard for him to put into human words. That's why he says things like, I heard a voice like a trumpet. And later on it was, I heard a voice like the rushing of many waters. Why is this important? Because we need to understand that the book of Revelation is full of similes and metaphors and allegories and analogies. They're all over the place in the book of Revelation. And it's John trying to capture what Jesus is revealing to him in places that most humans will never be. It's a revelation to John in the spiritual realms. And it's important to understand this because that helps us to not take Scripture literally, but literarily. And there's a big difference. Now, some of you might be asking, well, Pastor Darren, are you saying that you don't take the Bible all literally? No, and neither do you. Because if you did, I'd be sitting in the room with a lot of people who don't have hands and have their eyes gouged out. Because Jesus said, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. I've never seen anybody who has taken those words literally. They are hyperbole. It's important to understand and interpret Scripture, not just look at it and say, well, the Bible said it, I believe it, that settles it. My apologies to anybody who may be offended by my southern accent. But it's important. These things are important as we read through this beautiful and powerful book of Revelation. So let's finish out this chapter. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Wow. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Two important things to take away from this whole introduction to Revelation that will lead right in to what Jesus has to say to these seven churches. First of all, it's this. Don't be afraid. Look to Jesus. So I made that one of my five tips. Stay faithful to Jesus and don't be afraid, because it's right here in the text. John, who has turned to see and sees the glory of Jesus, falls at his feet, rightly so, in awe, bowing before him, kneeling down. And what does Jesus do? Jesus comes and puts his hand on John's shoulder. He says, John, don't be afraid. It's me. Wow. I can't help but think of those times when my children were waking up from a nightmare. We rush into the room and they're crying and upset, and to go to their bed and say, hey, stop, look at me. Look at me. It's going to be okay. You're all right. It's a father's heart coming right through Jesus, the only begotten Son of the Father. He wants him to know who he really is and that he doesn't need to be afraid. I am the first and the last. That theme gets repeated a lot in this chapter, doesn't it? The one who is, who was, and who is to come. The Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. You know what's incredible? It shows up here in the first chapter of Revelation. You know where else it shows up? The last chapter of Revelation. The message is clear from Jesus. Look to me. Don't be afraid. And then Jesus goes to explain some of what is being seen here in these symbols, in these images that John has taken in. Seven stars in his hand and seven lampstands. The seven stars being the angels of the seven churches, the messengers of the seven churches. They're in his hand. And then the lampstands themselves are the seven churches. And where is Jesus? Right in the middle of them. Jesus is right in the midst of his churches. He's right there, right in the middle of his churches. It's so important because the church belongs to Jesus. The church belongs to him. He loves it, cares for it, knows exactly how to take care of it, knows everything it needs. Because it's the body of Christ. He is connected to it deeply and richly. The church belongs to Jesus, not to you, and not to me. Sometimes I hear people, when they're frustrated or when they see change or when they see things happening in their church, to go, "Well, this is my church. And I don't like this. I don't think it should be this way." I rarely ever hear that here, and I mean that sincerely. But I've heard it, or I've heard it insinuated. This is my church. No, it's not. Never has been, never will be. It's Jesus' church. He is jealous of his church. And he knows exactly how to love and care for his church. And he invites us in to be a part of that loving relationship with him. Friends, on this Father's Day, our Father in heaven wants you to know that Jesus is with you, so you don't have to be afraid. And Jesus wants you to know that the church is his body, and he knows how to take care of it. It will be all right. And when things aren't all right, don't be afraid, because Jesus is with you, and he is with me, and he loves you and asks you to turn and see him and follow him and stay faithful to him. And when you fall down, he'll be there to pick you back up again and call you to himself. He is that good. So friends, let's live into this together in these troubling times. Don't be afraid. Look to Jesus. The church belongs to him and to no one else. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this day when we celebrate fathers and fatherhood, we look to you as the ultimate source of everything that we need. We look to you as the perfect example of fatherhood, as imperfect as we all are. We look to you when we are in places and times of fear and confusion. We look to your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified before the foundations of the world, who was raised to new life, and now is seated at your right hand. Heavenly Father, let all of the imagery, let all the words that we have borne witness to now in these first words of the book of Revelation encourage us. Help us, Lord, to receive them, to take them to heart, that we might not be afraid, but instead that we might persevere in this life until that day that could come any day when we see you riding on the clouds. Thank you, Lord, for that promise, for that assurance, for being the one who is strong and mighty to save, but also gentle and kind to the brokenhearted. Be with us today. in every circumstance represented in this room. Turn us to you. Turn us to your Son, Jesus, the one who was, who is, and who is to come. Amen and amen.